Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. A warm welcome to you on this Thursday evening. A priest is an overseer of fallen men trying to get back to God. The higher a priest is, the more compassion, mercy, and love God expects them to have towards the flock. Our best example of a priest is Jesus, and his ministry should give us something to aspire to as Christians. Today, Bishop Dag teaches that in order to be a high priest, you must be intentional and tune your mind in a certain way when deciding to take on this significant calling. From today's practical teaching, Bishop Dag will enlighten you on some of the ways that you can fulfill the office of being a high priest. Be encouraged by today's word.
Today, I think we're going to have a short service. What do you think? Hebrews chapter 4. We are looking at the priesthood. We're talking about leaders in the church. Amen. It's a leader service. Amen. And we are looking at leaders in the church. And the leaders in the church are priests. Amen. Amen. How many want to be a leader in the highest kind of organization? Huh? Or you want to be a leader in the lowest kind of organization, money organizations. You cannot serve God and mammon. You have to serve God or mammon.
Preach.
And so you can be a leader in a house of mammon or a leader in a house of God. Because you cannot serve house, God or mammon. Exactly. That's it. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So, learning, last week we went through various qualifications for the priests. Shouldn't shave their head, various things. Shouldn't be a hunchback, harlot, a dwarf, motia, flat nose, and so many other qualities. Is that not so? Exactly. So, we want to look at this qualification, learn more about this job we are all aspiring to, the job of the priests in the church. The leader in the church is the priest and not the administrator, but the priest. Amen. All right. Now, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the first point is that Jesus Christ is the greatest example of a priest. Are you enjoying the hammer time? Huh? It's new Christmas again. Amen. Christmas in March. All right. Now, is we have a high priest. A great high priest. Now, how many would like to be like Jesus? You know? So, if Jesus is a great high priest, I also would like to be a great high priest. I'd like to be a priest. Because Jesus is a priest. My mentor is a priest. My savior is a priest. My Lord is a priest. The one I look up to is a priest. People like Michael Jordan, and not Schwarzenegger and others as mentors. You are trying to follow such a person.
Super Odie.
And others are, what do you call it? Are role models. They are stars you are looking at. You want to be like the person. Rambo. And such people. But you see, we have a role model already. A great high priest. It's not a great karate fighter. Not a great kung fu fighter. But a great high priest. I see you becoming a great high priest. So we must have a good example. And the reason why people have posters of Michael Jordan, posters of Arnold Schwarzenegger, posters of Super Odie, and all these type of people is because you haven't seen the role model that you need to follow, which is Jesus Christ. When you have Jesus Christ, you will not be interested in somebody like Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey should not be the model of any woman here. Exactly. That's it. How can Oprah Winfrey be your role model, your mentor? Somebody who is not married, just staying with a boyfriend. Her best friend is a dog. And what? How can that person be your role model? It's not a good model. It's a bad model. You are glorifying fornication. Exactly, exactly. You are glorifying fornication, making, because she meets and she has meetings and other things. You feel that she's the richest woman in the world and so on. So it's like she's your role model. What type of person is that? It should not be a role model. The role model that we have is Jesus Christ. People like Sarah and others who are, the Bible tells us that they were good people. Calling their husband Lord. She's calling her boyfriend whatever.
Zambezi.
Are you listening to me? So our great model must be the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have him as our model, you know, we will not be ashamed of any of the things that he's doing for us. Jesus Christ is the best role model. If he's a priest, you know, because I remember years ago, when you say you are a priest, it's like a some way person who is not practical. Today I went to the prison and I preached a message entitled Practical Jesus. And I explained to them that Jesus was very practical. That it's a very practical thing to follow Jesus. And I explained to them how my life had practically been changed by following Jesus Christ. Practically. And I encouraged them to also have a new life by following Jesus. And then I called all the prisoners and I laid hands on all of them. They are going to be blessed. They are released. They are going to do well. Practical Jesus will help them. I tell you, Jesus says it's a very practical thing to follow Christ. But you see, we had an impression when he says he's a priest. He's like an impractical person who stays in the church, who is not realistic. Even they had a priestly voice.
God today, moving his word of all that we understand this evening to the glory of God. In his old time, moves with great wonders and supernatural interpretation of intention.
So when they speak, we realize that in fact these guys are really deep and high. So it's like their words and their language is so different from ours, and it's like they are mystical type of people. But to be a priest, if my Jesus is a priest, I also want to be a priest. Maybe somebody, you see, it's like Christians. We have Christians who have misrepresented Christ, so people don't want to be Christians. Well, they have misrepresented what it really is to be a Christian. Do you understand? Yeah, so now some people don't want it. But what it means to be a priest, I mean, by Jesus is a priest, I want to be a priest. So when we became pastor, we never used the terminology priest. So I never say I'm a priest. You say I'm a pastor. So I'm a reverend or I'm a pastor, but not priest. Because we have a negative connotation of what it is. But if Jesus Christ is a priest, he said a great high priest that has passed on into the heavens, then I would like to follow my Jesus. Find out what is it a priest, and how do you become a priest, and what is a priest doing so that I can also do it. And today we're just going to see one thing about what a priest does. It says, since Jesus Christ is our great high priest passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Amen. Amen. Profession. Now, that word you find is also translated confession sometimes. Is that not so? Where is it? Yeah, confession sometimes. Sometimes when you see profession, confession. But you see, once we see who Jesus is and what he is, it should anchor us so that we are not moved from what we've decided to do.
Amen.
Why should you want to shift from being a priest to being a doctor when Jesus Christ is a priest and not a doctor?
Come on. I'm hearing it.
Yeah. When Jesus Christ is a priest and not an artist, why do you want to be an artist when Jesus Christ is a priest?
Come on.
Huh? So the fact that our Jesus is something stabilizes us. Count 40. Up to 40 in years, most of us will not be here. If you are an artist, it wouldn't help you much. If you were a typist, it wouldn't help you much. If you were a computer analyst, it wouldn't help you much. But if you were a priest,
wow,
it will help you very much. May you become a priest upon this earth. I'm glad I'm a priest, so I'm trying to be a priest. So it should stabilize. Everybody needs an anchor so that when the things come and shake you, it stabilizes you. And you know. Amen.
Amen.
Nobody killed Jesus Christ. He gave himself. He gave his life. He did all that he did intentionally. One day my sister was talking to a priest, and she asked him, why did you become a priest? She explained, I didn't do well in school. I didn't do well in anything. So this was the next thing that I could do. So I decided to become a priest. You see, when you speak like that, you discourage people from becoming priests. You get it? Because everybody feels that to be a priest is like when you don't do well in this, and you don't do well in that, and you don't do well in whatever, then you come and be a priest.
Last option.
You can fall into it. Jesus Christ was very intentional. You see, you mustn't enter a relationship accidentally. You must think about it. And then choose what you are choosing.
Yeah.
When I met my wife, we were moving together. So, and I said, no, from the experience that I have, you can easily become friends with somebody that you don't intend to marry. So I wanted time to think about it. And so that I know that this is something that I've chosen. And all my life, that's never occurred to me that I've made a mistake or that I was pressurized or that I thought about it for more than a year. I analyzed it and I consciously, it wasn't something that I was accidentally or incidentally or coincidentally flowed into. But I paused enough to think about it. Say, is this what I want? That's it. You've all become very quiet because I mentioned about, but Papa Hagin said, if you want the church to become quiet, just preach about marriage.
Exactly.
Exactly. I was standing there, and I don't know whether it's an angel or the Holy Spirit told me to say that Jesus Christ did the things he did intentionally. Even when I'm employing people, if I have not intentionally employed you, you are not employed. Once I've been taught about you and thought carefully about choosing you to work, you are not yet employed. Although you may be around, but you have not yet been employed. Because Jesus thought about it. He was moving to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
You see, there was one pastor in town.
Rich.
He said, people were saying that, oh, he's gone abroad. So I said, it's better. Because you see, Jesus, the only way for him to live longer was for him to move away from Jerusalem. Because the opposition, public opposition, yeah, and hatred was building up. It was building up to a point where they would eliminate and exterminate him. So the only way was to move, let's say to Egypt or Sudan, travel to the Far East and so on. But he had no intention of living on. He went to Jerusalem, where the Pharisees and the dignities were based. He moved there consciously. When you read the Bible, you may not know, but when you read Matthew, you see a point where he starts to move towards Jerusalem. He started to go towards Jerusalem from Galilee. And he walked 160 kilometers. And as he, different towns that he passed, more people kept joining him. In fact, when he came through Jericho on the way to Jerusalem, that's when he healed blind Bartimaeus. The blind man followed him. It was on his way to Jerusalem, intentionally. From Matthew 16, he started going down. Yeah. It was conscious. It wasn't like there was a call, so he went there, and then he was there, and then they caught him, and then they asked him. Conscious. Intentional. To be a priest, you have to decide consciously, this is what I have chosen. And when we do that, we will not have orangus who are orangulizing us over money. Because you didn't choose this thing accidentally. Not like you didn't have a job and okay, the way things were. So it's like the church was there and it was like they needed somebody. So you came there and then it's like you are around and it's like there was a lot of pressure and they were talking this full-time preaching. Say they preach Pharaoh after Pharaoh, they preach parables after parable, they preach my time, your time, and the time. After that, they preach Zelu and then what else? Proton and other messages. So Bebelos, the outsider. So I couldn't resist it. So before I realized, you know, I was working in the church. I didn't know what happened to me. Zizoza. You were moved emotionally. No. Don't be moved emotionally. Think about it carefully. Jesus became a priest intentionally. Consciously, he obeyed his heavenly Father. It wasn't accidental. It wasn't incidental. It wasn't coincidental. It was a conscious, I'm here intentionally. I'm here intentionally. I've consciously thought about it. Why am I in Ghana? Intentionally. Intentionally. Why am I having a Healing Jesus crusade? It's conscious decision I've taken. It's something I've decided to do. It's not something I'm just moving into. Accidentally, incidentally, or coincidentally. So if you want to be a priest, think about it. There are other things you can do. You can do this, you can do that, you can do this, you can do that. Do you want to be a priest? Come and let's work. When you come to be a priest, don't tell me that when you were working at Lever Brothers, you were earning this, and by now you'd have been earning this million and so on. Then vamoose from us and go back to the Lever Brothers and don't come and stand here and say if you had been working at Lever Brothers or if you had been working at whatever. Clear off and move to that place and be there to get the things that you said you were going to get. Don't come and be in the church and be saying, if I was at Lever Brothers by now, I would have been a manager, I would have been a director, I would have been this. What about me? What about Reverend Saki? If I had been following whatever, by now I'd have been in America, earning whatever. Don't, if we all start to talk that way, we can't have peace in the temple. So we can't have peace in the temple. Exactly. Reverend Saki, will we have peace in this temple? If you have to say, if I have done one contract, I've got $5,000. If I have to sign this, if I have to write a will, I'll get 5% of the estate. If I'm to do this, all these things. Look, we can have peace
in the temple.
Think about it carefully. One day, a friend of mine, she works in America. She came, she was telling me, she's a doctor. She said, you know, if I was to do certain programs, I could earn $600,000 a year. $600,000. That is not 600. Even some of us would be happy to get 600,000 CDs a month. But she's talking about $600,000 a year. She lives in America. She's a medical doctor in America. My own class mate, my own mate, my own colleague, I should say, from the University of Ghana Medical School. And that's what she's talking to me. She said that certain things he felt to do. This is the kind of money that I'll be earning. $50,000 a month.
That's it.
That's exactly what you are looking for. So if I stay here and I start comparing and start analyzing, no. I'm here intentionally. So when Jesus was going towards Jerusalem and they started to catch him and arrest him, he didn't say, oh, what is happening? And they said, no. Leave them. It's intentional. Let him catch me.
That's right.
When Peter tried to catch him, no. It's intentional. I know they are catching me.
Preach.
They've cut my ear. I know. It's intentional. Let him catch it. Cut it. Then they arrested him. They said, no, you leave them. This is a plan. It's intentional that I'm having this. I am suffering intentionally. No, let them carry me. Let's go. And when they took him to Pontius Pilate and they were asking him questions, the Bible says he answered not a word. A man who can speak until nobody can go home, feed the people, speak. Bible says he answered not a word because it was intentional. If he was to start defending himself, you say, I'm a blasphemer. What are my blasphemies? Let's talk. Do you know when he defended himself? Just once. In Matthew 23, he unleashed all that was in his heart against the Pharisees. That's when he told them, you strain at a gnat and you swallow a camel. That's when he told them, whitewash sepulchre. It was in Matthew 23, in the temple, he released everything. Himself came and he said everything that he was thinking about these Pharisees. Do go and read Matthew 23. Intentional. But in the time of judgment, it was intentional. He answered not the way. He didn't defend. He didn't try to talk because there was a plan. So I'm sorry. It is intentional. I know. I have intended to suffer. And the Bible says, and he began to tell them how the Son of God must suffer these things, must go to the temple, must perish at the hands of sinners. Intentional. Plan intentionally to serve God and intentional to suffer. Bible says in 1 Peter 4, arm yourself with this mind. Let me show you that at 1 Peter.
Good.
1 Peter 4, verse 1. It says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise. In other words, prepare yourself. Arm yourself likewise with the same mind. You see, you arm yourself for priesthood by having a certain kind of mind. If you don't arm yourself, when the attacks come, you will be defenseless and you will fall. But you must arm. And what does it mean to arm? To get arms, like Saddam Hussein was getting weapons of mass disappearance. Do you understand? And as he was getting these weapons, you get it, he was preparing himself for an attack. And so if you're going to be a priest in the house of the Lord, you must prepare, you know, your mind. You must set your mind in a certain way. I never thought I would ever even have a house. Me, I am myself. I'll never have a house in this world. I am myself. I prepared my mind, said that I'm now going to be poor. Sometimes when people are coming to work, I say, look, you are going to be poor. Can you understand poverty? You have to, and it's not a joke. You have to prepare. Your mind must be tuned that way. Arm yourself for as much then as Christ has suffered for us. Arm yourself, therefore, with the same kind of thinking. Otherwise, you can't stand. I tell you, look, that is the reason you go around churches. Churches breaking up, fighting. This one has left. This one. All is because of money. All because of all these kind of things. And Lighthouse, the reason why we don't have so much of that is because we don't have many full-time people. Most people are lay people. And the more full-time people you have, the more of such things you probably see. Except we arm ourselves. When you stand and tell me that if I was working at Lever Brothers, I would have been earning this, I would have been... It irritates me. Those type of things irritates me. Because we can all say where we would have been by now. And where we would have been working by now. And there's some stories I don't think I'll tell downstairs people when I go down. You have to think in a certain way. You have to arm yourself. I'm going to be a priest. I'll be nobody. I'll be nothing. I'll be despised. So when they despise us, you say, yeah, that's it. That's it. I'm nothing. That's it. When they insult you, say, exactly. When they say you are nobody, say, exactly. When they say you'll be poor, say, exactly. I've chosen it. I'm aware. Those who were, I'm aware. They are aware. It's intentional.
They planned it.
One day I went for a camp meeting in one of our churches. Everybody was wearing, I'm aware. All the ladies were wearing, I'm aware. So I also, holding my favorite weapon, which is this, I release my sword. That's it. I intentionally started to. You see, it was not a very large group. I said, look at it. It's a shame. What are you doing? And she was trying to cover.
That's it.
I said, what are you doing? You have come to show us your hips. But you see, they were aware of what they were doing. All of them. You'll be surprised. I faced them and I said, are you a prostitute? I said, are you a prostitute? Why do you dress like you are dressed like a shower girls? I mean, they were not even Ghanaians, so you couldn't use them. I said, you are like prostitutes, I told them. You are like a prostitute. You look so licentious, like somebody who wants to sleep with somebody just around, anybody you can get to sleep with now. What is that? It's not appropriate. It's not nice. It's not delicate. It's not beautiful. It's not nice. Will you believe when I finished that facing, all of them would. The next session, when we broke and we came, no, I'm aware again. So all of them had, I'm not aware. They had, I'm not aware in the house. So it was intentional that they were wearing the I'm aware. They had, I'm not aware at home, and they wore the I'm aware. I'm not aware. So please, I'm just saying to you, prepare your mind. That's why sometimes when you are going to get married, we tell you frightening things so that you prepare for the worst, so that if it's not so bad, then things get better as you go. But if we tell you, you see, marriage is the romance, we stay on a cloud. Every time we come home, we say, honey, sweetheart, I miss you, baby. Glory. Woo. You know, I don't ask those who are married, when was the last time they kissed themselves? Zazozi. Ha last time you saw them holding hands and walking? Anytime you can ask my wife, I always tell my wife, you look, these people are not married. If you see them holding their hand, walking in a garden, doing something, sitting at a restaurant together, say, let's watch. You will see they are not married. You watch for their finger. And when you look, look, you look, look, you see. Exactly. No marriage. It is stupendous. Are you listening to me? So you arm yourself with a certain kind of thinking. And when you arm yourself with a certain kind of thinking, it really helps you. And that's what Peter, it's like fasting. If you make up your mind before, it really helps. But when your mind is not made up, as you go, you say, should I eat? Should I not eat? Should I not eat? God is speaking. They say, I heard a voice say I should eat. No, I heard another voice say I shouldn't eat. Which voice, you know, and then the whole boy realize you have eaten. Because a person who is hungry, who hears, or he's thinking that he's heard a voice that you should eat, will he not obey that voice immediately? Exactly. All right, I told you today will be short. Back to Hebrews. Now, I'm teaching you how to be a priest. Step number one is to do it intentionally. Intentional decisions. I'm going to be a priest. I'm going to be nobody. I'm going to be nothing. I'm going to be poor. I'm going to be zero. That is my decision. So when they start seeing you and they start laughing at you, you say, what do you say? I'm aware. You don't say I'm not aware. I'm aware. I'm aware of what is happening. It's intentional. When they look at you and they say, why are you taking offering? What are you doing? Say, oh, it is intentional. I'm aware. I'm aware. When they think you are collecting money, you are using church, they say, oh, I'm aware. I'm aware of what you are thinking. It's intentional. All that I'm doing is intentional. Does it? All right. Verse 15. Priest. It says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Come on now. He says, we don't have a high priest who cannot be touched. You see, the first thing about being a priest, or the second thing about being a priest, is that you must be able to be touched and affected by real problems, and therefore have become merciful. Amen. He says, we don't have a priest who can't be touched. He can be touched with the feeling, what it feels like. You see, then he goes on to explain or give a further. He says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why should we come boldly? Because that priest who is there, he has the feeling, he has felt it before. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the second step is to be someone who has feelings. You must have feelings. You mustn't be hard. You must have feelings for people. Feelings. You'll never be a good preacher until you feel something. You must preach from feelings. Passion. They call it passion. You must feel for what it would be like to go to hell. And from that, you preach from your feelings to the people. That's a priest. You must marry and go through what there is in marriage. Then you become more merciful, more humble, and you are not a theoretician. One day, somebody got married in a church. After about 3 months or so, They came for serious marriage counseling.
That's it.
It was like a crisis, just about 10 weeks, 12 weeks. So one of the pastors who had not married, he came and said, hey, what I've seen. Charlie, 3 months. Look at this serious counseling. I said, well, you haven't yet married. So you may not know the reason why even within 3 days, you may need to come back for counseling. Only that you have an experience. But when you have experienced it, and somebody is coming along, you don't look and say, ah, what kind of marriage is this? 12, 10 weeks you are coming for. What is it? I mean, where is your love? Are you not, don't you have love? It's like 10 weeks, just come on, 8 weeks, so you are coming for. I mean, what is this? But if you have been there, you have been touched, you know that you can quarrel on the way to the wedding. You see, the wedding itself is a quarrel. Zantele, zantele. Disagree on the way. It's only if you have been there. But if you haven't been there, you just look and say, why? Look at this guy. How? I mean, how? How? What kind of, what do you call this? What kind of, this is, you know, I mean, how? How? So you haven't been before. Until now, why a theoretician? Theories. But when you have been touched, Bible said Jesus was touched. He had felt certain things with the feelings of weakness. When you talk about lust, sexual desire, most of the men understand it. Exactly. When you talk about lust, and you talk about desire, and you talk about burning, you see some people beginning to trot and say that, Pastor, we understand what you are talking about. Go and visit your beloved. When you are coming, you cannot walk. But most of the sisters cannot be touched with the feeling of that, so they don't understand. Why? Why? What is this? They look and say, what is this? You know, what is wrong? What is wrong with you? They say, are you an animal? Or what are you? Are you an animal? What is that? Zampala. I preach about practical Jesus. Zigzag. So when you see a pastor or a brother who is looking at another brother who is burning, look at him, say, me, Charlie, you the belly. You see, the brothers can understand what it is. And the sisters will look at, what is it? Me, I don't see what I want. Cannot be touched with the feeling. But when you live on earth and you are touched, you see, that's why the best pastor is not a foreigner. You know, your pastor is the best preacher for you because he's in the thing with you. It's different from an angel coming from heaven to come and speak pure words. Like Gabriel said, I am Gabriel, I come from the presence of God. We are coming from Odoko, we are coming from Choko, we are coming from Mataeko, we are coming from places with a lot of problems, not from the presence of God. Are you listening to me? So Don't think that the difficulties you are going through or have been through are disqualifying you from being a priest. Rather, it's qualifying you for being a priest because it's making you more merciful and understanding. So when you see the people, you know, Bible says you have compassion. You look at it, you don't have judgment. The first thing a priest must come to the heart of a priest is mercy for my people, mercy for my people, mercy for my people, not judgment for my people. A priest is supposed to beg God. When we go into the other duties of a priest, you will see that he's begging God for the people,
preaching the word,
begging the Lord. We have a priest. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intervention.
Yeah.
Intervention. When they are trying to judge you and kill you, intervention. Intercession. He ever liveth. Christ the priest, the high priest, always intervening. When the king is trying to kill you, eliminate you, terminate you, there's a priest who has a feeling. Oh, what a blessing it is to come to somebody who is not judging. It looks like the person understands what you are talking about and can feel what you are feeling, has been through what you have been through, and he doesn't seem to want to condemn you. You don't understand why he's not condemning, because he's a good priest. He's not thinking of condemning you at all. Ah, we have a great high priest in Jesus Christ. And God is looking for, you see, some of us, the things we've been through shouldn't make us more wicked. One day I went to the labor ward. And then there was myself and a certain man and then another woman, a nurse, who were there delivering that baby, that lady. Now, for the baby to come out, they had to cut episiotomy, you know, and then they had to suture. You know, when they say cut, it's like you are cutting your flesh like that. Like, can you imagine your fingers? We slice about 3 inches between, like that, with a knife, a big scissors like that. We cut like this, then the hand divides. That is what it is. And then after that, you sew it with needle and whatever. So, they took the scissors and then they cut. You see, sometimes you can cut it at a time that is the contraction. So the woman will not know what pain she's feeling. It does as if it's the contraction. But then when it comes to the sewing, you normally will give an injection for the pain to whatever anesthesia to just cool the thing down, and then we sew it quickly. The woman, you see, I thought that because she was a woman, she will have some mercy and then feeling. You see, you will be surprised. That's why I'm saying, do you think that because you have been through something, you will be merciful automatically? But it's not so. Some people have been through and they say that, look, what I've been through, you must also go through. In fact, you must be disciplined by that thing. So I said, we have to give anesthesia. We have to give her an anesthesia. She said, no anesthesia. We are sewing it direct, raw. I said, look, then she brought a very big needle, like a horse needle. I said, what are you coming to do? You are coming. No. And I was a student, so it was like, I didn't have much choice. When the woman moved a bit to the left, the man who was in the middle, he took the injection, quickly, and then threw it away so that the woman will not see. He rather, who has not experienced labor and these kind of things, rather had more compassion. The person who has experienced it is rather more wicked. It's a stupendous.
Petrifying. Preach.
I'm saying this to show you that the fact that you have had a certain problem before doesn't mean you have mercy towards people who have that problem. It doesn't mean so. In fact, you can be even more hardened and more wicked. The fact that you suffer, so that you will also suffer, because it's good to suffer. But when you become a priest, what you went through, you try to shade the people's.
tried to cover like a chicken. And I want to protect you. I want to keep you. I want to protect you. I want to help you if I can. Because I can feel what you must be feeling. One day, a certain sister was talking. She started to talk. She said, look at that. Look at that girl. They're funicating. I mean, how? I mean, how? Can you do this? That's what I'm talking about. So I was just looking at the girl and I said, hey, this girl, if we rewind now, the chain of, you know, series of Lotto kiosk
activities,
purchases that have passed through, zigzag through the lady, and I was listening to the hardness with which she was talking about this other person, and I thought to myself that I thought that she rather, because she had been blessed, now she was married to a pastor, whatever. So I thought that she would even see that God has just been merciful to me after all my route. I went here. Then the pastor rather has seen me and married me. Hey, is it not the grace of God? But no. A Christian, why should you decide? You go to marry this, that. Me how? A priest doesn't say, I mean, how? A priest is touched with feeling. You see somebody in a problem and your heart moves.
It's not.
One day I was in a meeting, and there was this pastor. All pastors. Well, not all pastors. Some not pastors. But there was this pastor with this big problem that had come up. And then different people were speaking. So one pastor caught up and spoke. And he said, well, this is the darkest hour. This darkness cannot easily go away. The way the darkness is, it's a permanent kind of darkness that you cannot easily recover from. And he started to speak about darkness and dark hours that cannot be lifted up. So I got up. When he finished speaking and so on, I got up and I said, well, I have a different opinion. I believe God can take us through. God can bring us through this darkness. Whatever it is, not a permanent darkness. We shall survive. All things work together for good. We can make it, and God is going to see us through.
Which kind of darkness?
You see, it depends on whether you have a priest's heart or a judge's heart. Let there be mercy. One day you will need mercy. May you find mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Your sword of judgment, don't just bring it out to execute. Show mercy. If not you, your child will need that mercy one day. Stand to your feet. I told you today will be short. But I believe it's a good note. I said, I believe it's a good note. Let us therefore come boldly.
Hallelujah.
Listen to me. Some people, they cannot be priests, or they are not priests, because people are afraid to come. They know that penalties and judgments and wickedness. May you have the spirit to gather. Put out your hand. You see, everybody here is made up of sinners, wicked people, fallers, bad people, abortionists. All of us are here. I tell you, how can we come here? It's only mercy. Long ago, that delusion left me that a church is made up of perfect people who are really this, that, whole. Yeah, that is not a church. That is not a church. I don't know what I said. Maybe commandos group. Military, spiritual military commandos. But it is a church. You don't have to tell me that you are bleeding right now from abortion as you are standing, but you still come to church. You don't have to say, I know. Oh, yes. That your sins are haunting you as I'm preaching. But you see, that's why it's a church. It's for all of us.
All of us.
Even me.
Us.
Even me.
Yes. Even you.
Oh, Jesus.
Where would we have been if it wasn't for somebody who is begging for us every day? We had an association, and the association went and applied for membership at a high, it's called the World Pentecostal Fellowship or something. Highest, all charismatic and Pentecostal. Can we join? So I got a letter, and as I looked at the letter was somebody who knows me, said, I am asking and recommending that this association should be allowed because of my personal relationship and knowledge of Bishop Dakiwood Mills, that this association should be allowed. That is why I am asking. Then the people said, we have accepted you. Why? Because somebody said, look, this person are accepting. There is a priest who is always saying, accept her.
Accept
her. Accept her. Accept them. I see you being accepted by the Lord. Are you glad about that? And so if you're going to be a priest on earth, you know, you must have that heart of a priest. Sit down, I'm still preaching, I have something to say. You know, I like to tell you stories on Sundays in the evenings. Listen, when Bishop Blake came to Ghana, I had a very interesting question for him. Because he said, all these people are in his church. Denzel Washington and these actors, all these guys, Stevie Wonder and all these people. So sometimes when we watch the films and some of the things they are doing in the film, say, hey, all these people are born again, so-called born again. So I asked him, I said, so are they real? I mean, is there Christianity? What is the Christianity? What is it like? And he said, oh. So I asked, I said, so Denzel Washington and so on, when they are doing film, do they say, okay, if there's this and there's this, I won't do? I said, oh, he said, oh, they don't say anything like that. Do everything. One film, you do $20 million. Collect and go. To act in it, they pay you $20 million. $20 million down before you start. He said, they don't say anything like that. And he said, oh, they are all just like the people in the church. Everybody is some way. They are all fully capable people. They are all in the church. He said, it's a reflection of how the whole church is. Everybody with problem, issues, fornication, abortion, adultery, this. Everybody is some way. But you see, he's an experienced priest. You see, a priest is not an overseer of angels. Oh, you didn't hear me? I said, a priest is not an overseer of angels. A priest is an overseer of fallen men who are trying to get to God. That's what a priest is. And the higher the priest is, the more compassion, the more mercy, the more acceptance, and the less judgment that comes from the heart of the priest. Huh? Let mercy come on. Huh? Sons and daughters, let there be mercy from you.
Amen.
From today as you go, be when you see something, just be sort of open and just, you know, it's okay. You know, I went somewhere, one of our pastors, and he had got into some difficulty. You know, when I was leaving, I told him, you know, me, I believe in you. You know, he almost started crying. I said, me, I like you. Then I called his beloved one time. I said, do you want to leave? Then he said, he's a bad boy. That's why he's a bad boy. He's like this. I said, you still want to stay? I was tricking her. I said, me, I like him. If you don't like him, me, I like him. You don't like him. Me, I like him. Yeah. I said, me, I like you.
Oh, Jesus.
Me, I believe in you. That's it. I've seen it over and over. Sometimes out of that mud, you'll be surprised at the gold that is going to come out of that place. Go to Abasi and see. Muliganos town, but there's gold under.
That's it.
I said, there's gold under the dust. He said to me, just that I know that you believe in me, far away where you are, it's just enough. And I said, me, I believe in you. I'll do almost anything for you. Almost anything. Oh. You don't like. I said, that's what I said, but you don't like me, I like him. You don't like me, I like. You don't like, God likes. Read your Bible. People that were thrown away by men, God collected them. I like my man. Jacob the thief. I like the thief. The thief, he likes anointing. The thief likes anointing. The good guy doesn't like anointing. The thief likes anointing. Today when I went to the prison, I saw the prisoners. See their hardened faces. I preached from my heart. And I said, I want to pray for all of you. You are going to be free. Come. And I laid hands on them.
Practical Jesus.
Practical Jesus. God likes you. People don't like you. God likes you. They didn't even know my name. After they asked me, can we know the name of the man who came to preach? Priest, who likes the people, not a high priest with machine guns. When you come, hands up, hands up, trying to kill the members. Bishop Blake told me, he said, the people, they are just like all the people in it, and it's true. A church. We are thieves, we are fornicators, disloyal, beastly, tired, lazy. Oh, but God likes you. You are the one he died for. Is he going to throw you away just like that? Thank God for the priestly anointing that is coming over your life. The priestly anointing starts with a merciful feeling in your heart. Have mercy for yourself and for other people. That's the beginning of the priestly anointing that God is putting. Mercy, mercy, mercy for all of us. Mercy and mercy and more mercy. And when you can learn to forgive yourself and forgive others, God can pick you up and use you for greater and greater things. Lift your hand and thank him. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your blessing. Oh, just stand to your feet and thank him. I wanna be more like you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, we thank you.
We acknowledge your mercies and your grace for our lives. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. We honor you. What a privilege it is to serve you, to join the priesthood, to go higher. We thank you, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.